to us a baby child, only here for just a while. But just a while was enough to change the world. In the smallest space of time, he brought hope and peace of mind, and taught us with his very life how to truly sacrifice. From the cradle to the cross was the moment when hope was on this earth, the sacred time when love came to the lost. What was gained upon the tree was the grace that began with Jesus' birth. He gave it all from the cradle to the cross. Those who lived before he came, like we who've trusted in his name, believe salvation rested in his hands. As we look back on the life that turned the tide for all mankind, we see his place in history affecting all eternity. From the cradle to the cross was the moment when hope walked on this earth, the sacred time when love came to the lost. What was gained upon the tree was the grace that began with Jesus' birth. He gave it all from the cradle to the cross. He was the true reflection of how God gives. He was born to die that we might live. From the cradle to the cross was the moment when hope walked on this earth, the sacred time when love came to the lost. What was gained upon the tree was the grace that began with Jesus' birth. He gave it all. He gave it all. He gave it all from the cradle to
Thank you, Vanessa. Well, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. I hope that you're having a great morning so far. I would like to welcome all of you who are college students that are back, and it's good to see Tim back here from the Army, and good to see all of you here. You know, we are living in perilous times in this country. I don't know about you, but I am greatly concerned with what's happening with our nation, particularly in the attacks they are making on police officers. And, you know, two officers were killed yesterday. Actually, three officers were killed, two in New York, one in Florida. There is an all-out attack on authority today. And we are living in a time period when we really need to pray that God would intervene, that God would do something very special to our country. We are really in desperate need, and some might say, well, you know it doesn't affect me. I don't have off. Let me tell you, if this all-out attack on authority happens, we have no authority left in America. And I don't know about you, but if you're not concerned, you better be. because it is something that we as a nation need to be addressing. And I hope that that as you see an officer somewhere in town, or maybe in a donut shop or a coffee shop or whatever, you know, and there's the old joke there at both those places, if you can't find an officer, just go to a donut shop. And believe me, that's not the case, but I would ask that you would pray for them and let them know that you appreciate the service that they're doing, because right now they feel as though nobody cares what they do. And I'm hearing what they're telling me, and been dealing really, quite frankly, this week with several who are just going through a really tough time right now. And if you would pray for them, and then pray for all of us. We are living in perilous times. I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of looking for the upper taker. I'm looking for Jesus to come, and I don't think it's going to be too much longer before he comes. Well, a semester is over for most of those college students. I don't think anyone's going back that I know of. But I remember when I was a junior in Bible college, I remember that as a junior that I went I was asked to come and work with a alcohol and drug program at the local rescue mission. It was in Greenville, South Carolina. It was a Greenville rescue mission. And I remember going there. My job was to supervise those who were in the program. And what I would do is I would go there and they would be working on different projects. And I was to make sure that they were completing their projects. And I had a great job, because what he would do is he gave me an office and he would say, okay, if any of them had a problem or any of them were struggling or whatever, just call them in and talk to them and give the gospel to them. And man, it was a great privilege. I loved taking that. I loved that job. And so what I would do is I would bring them in. I would talk to them. And many of them told me some pretty horrific stories, things that would embarrass most of us, stories about how that they had, you know, they had had a good job and a great family. And many of them, you know, had children. And some of them were college graduates, and how that when they thought they were going to have freedom, you know, now they were out on their own, and they would pick up a bottle or take maybe a pill or a drug. And then before long, that their whole life was given over to that. And then many of them had lost their families and lost their respect, and they lost their homes, they lost their jobs, and basically lost everything, because they were enslaved, if you would, they were enslaved to a sin. They were enslaved to a habit, and they didn't know that was going to take place. In fact, they didn't realize that was going to be the end of where that bottle was going to take them. And for them, they could not get out of this, if you would, the proverbial hamster in a cage. It was just a cycle of drinking and then losing everything and then taking whatever they could. And I remember that some had told me about how bad it had gotten. It had gotten so bad that for some of them, that what they would do is they would drink rubbing alcohol just to get another fix off of the alcohol. I mean, they were bound. I mean, their hands were like, they were just handcuffed with this problem that they were facing. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us need to understand that sin is very binding. That sin has cords to it. That sin, the Bible speaks of them as cords. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 5 in verse 22, the Bible says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin. What is it about these cords? Can we break those cords? Can we get rid of them? And many of those guys would say things like to me, you know, I tried. I would go in and I would talk to my family, and they would allow me to come back, and then I would make, you know, commitments and I would sign contracts, and I did everything I possibly could to break that habit, but I couldn't. And here's my question today. What about your life? What about where you are? You see, here's what's taking place. It seems like within society, we sort of have those sins that are socially unacceptable. Now, I'll remind you of this. There's no such thing as big sin and little sin. All sin is sin in God's eyes. But there's some sin that seems to be socially acceptable. There's some sin that people seem like, well, it's okay, you know. And there are Christians that somehow have that too in their life. You know, sometimes it's a fear, it's a bitterness, it's an anger, a malice towards someone. And that seems acceptable because, you know, we're just human. Maybe it's a lust. Maybe it's something that goes on inside you that no one else knows about. Maybe an unforgiven sin. Something that's there. That you know it's there, and God keeps putting a finger on it on a daily basis, and yet you just kind of ignore it and just say, oh, well, maybe it'll just go away. You know, those are acceptable. But, you know, when a person is, you know, he's drinking and he's out here on the streets and he can't do anything for himself and he's enslaved, well, now that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. But how can we kick it? How can we get out of that? What's the answer to that? Where do we turn to? Well, the good news is the fact that that's what Christmas is all about. That's the good news. The good news is the fact that whether you are a Christian who are suffering with this bondage of sin in your life, that though you're a Christian and though you're saved, that you've allowed yourself now to be kind of pulled back into some type of a cord of sin, I want to tell you this morning that God can break those cords for you. And whether you are a person who's never received Christ as Savior, and you just find that for you, the end of the road is just enslavement and bondage, and you don't know where you're going to go and what you're going to do and how you're going to get through it, I want you to also know that there is an answer from God for you too. The Bible says that we're all sinners. In Romans chapter 3, he says it like this. He said, what then? Are we better than they? Nay, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. I've studied that word, all under sin. I wanted to understand, what do you mean, all under sin? Sin, it has the idea of like the addict, if you would, or the alcoholic, or the you know, the person who maybe is addicted to something. It's like once they get into that bondage, it's like they're under it. They're intoxicated with it. And this word has that same idea that we're intoxicated with sin. That we have that problem. And the only way that we can get an answer, the only way that we can get out of that is that we must have something external to get us out of that. Something has to step up. And the Bible said that with this in mind, that the great news is that Jesus Christ came to give us good news. Aren't you glad Christmas means good news? Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior like that, and that He came, and His offer for all of us is that He would liberate us from the bondage of sin. No place could be clearer in the Scriptures than Isaiah chapter 61. If you'll turn there with me, Isaiah chapter 61, in this passage, there are two key verses to help us to understand that God came in the form of human flesh, and He came, as Vanessa sang, He came to the cradle in order to go to the cross, that we can be free from the bondage of sin. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are in bondage, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, this is an absolutely amazing passage of Scripture. Let me call your attention, if you would please, to verse number 2. The Bible says there that God has proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. What this focuses on is something that in the law code called the year of Jubilee. It's the 50th year. And in Israel's history, every 50 years, which would be just about a generation, every 50 years, they would call it a time period of liberation. It would be a time in which all debt was canceled. Wouldn't that be great if all your debt would be canceled right now? I don't know if any of you have any debt. Probably none of you do. But if you ever get in debt, it would be wonderful if someone could come and just write a check and you would be debt-free. Wouldn't that be nice? That's the experience that we're talking about here. All debts are canceled. All slaves who in those days, they were slaves who were either sold into slavery or they were in bondage because of the poverty, and they would be set free. Basically, what it would be a picture of a brand new start. A brand new way of kind of, you know, clearing the deck, starting all over, getting everything all over. It would be a rebirth, if you would. A rebirth for the nation. A brand new start. It'd be nice if this country could see a jubilee. I think it'd be wonderful. How about, wouldn't it be nice if we could just write off a $17 trillion debt like that? And I don't know what yours would be. Maybe yours might match that. I don't know. But wouldn't it be nice? Everything is just now free. Think of the freedom it would be. I mean, think about if you owe nobody anything. Wouldn't it be nice if you had that position in your life? This is the picture. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of joy. I mean, you can only imagine what the nation must have felt like. And so here's what God is saying. God is saying that Christmas, then, is a picture of this jubilee because every one of us can have a jubilee in our life. Every one of us can have that. The idea here is the fact that every one of us needs a rebirth. We need a canceling of the debt. We need some way in which this sin problem, this bondage that we have, that which I'm weighed down with, needs to be broken. It has to be removed. And there's no way that I can personally do that. I can't cancel that debt. I can't wipe that spiritual debt out because I do have a spiritual debt. I'm indebted to God. I am spiritually bankrupt. I'm in poverty to God because I'm a sinner. And the only way that I can have my sin taken care of is by Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ came. This prophecy points to the purpose of Jesus coming, that he brought good news to those who are captive. And that good news is for every one of us because all of us are captive in our sin. We're all, if you would, in the prison of sin. We're all under sin, as the Bible says. And we need a new beginning. We need a new start. We don't need this idea of religion. You know what we need? We need transformation. And that transformation comes through Jesus Christ. Now, God describes for us how this liberty of setting us free takes place. Number one, it's immediate. It's immediate. You know, there is a confusion today to think about, okay, how does this salvation work? You know, that when we call upon Jesus, he asks him to be our Savior, does it kind of just like kind of gradually happen? Or how does it work? And the Bible said, no, when we receive Jesus Christ as payment, there's no price I can bring. Jesus paid the price for all my sins. In other words, the price has been paid. It's as if when the moment I trust Christ, God has stamped my life debt-free spiritually. It's a new birth. It's immediate. If you're here today and you find yourself, you know, you're trying to get, you know, that peace of God in your heart and you wonder where you're going to get it, it comes when you realize that the moment you trust Christ, that He stamps your life debt-free spiritually. There's nothing we can do that can change what Jesus Christ can do. Nothing. You see, we're invited to come to God and have liberty by the grace of Almighty God. And thank God for that. But there's another thought in this passage is unconditional liberation. Unconditional liberation means that we are free from the guilt and the power of sin. I like to know that I could be free from that guilt of sin. And you know, it's kind of like this. Whether we want to admit it or not, mankind, when they sin, they feel guilty. I've had people say something like, well, my conscience bothers me. That's guilt. We have the guilt of sin. Sin weighs us down. I mean, if you read Psalm 51, David talks about, you know, against thee, the only of us sin. And he said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And he talks in that passage about how guilty he felt and how awful he felt and how he was going through that time period in his life when he had sinned against God and he felt awful about those things and he could not handle it any longer. He had to go to God. He said, God, only you can forgive me. Only you can restore into me. Only you can take care of those things. And what bothers me is when we get beyond the guilt of sin. Sometimes that happens too. People get in so much into the trap of sin that it's almost like they have either no guilt at all or their guilt has turned into anger. And they get angry at God. And they get angry at other people. They get angry at everything because they have this guilt that's weighing them down. And maybe it's the fact that for them, they have not realized that the liberty is not in running away from God, but liberty is going unto Him. You see, He gives us unconditional liberation. The moment I trust Him, I am totally set free from those things. But then thirdly, I notice here that He gives us complete liberation. There is an end of slavery the moment we trust Christ as Savior. The moment we trust Him, all of a sudden, all of the load of sin, the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, the penalty of sin is all lifted off of me. Thank God I am now free. What freedom it is to know that. If you found Jesus Christ as Savior, you are living today in a spiritual year of jubilee. You are free. And free indeed. And the Bible said that's what Christmas is about. It reminds us of why Jesus came. Why He came to this earth 2,000 years ago. Why He came here that He might set the captives free. And thank God we have freedom in Him. It's a strange thing. We have freedom in Him. But have you ever noticed how sometimes Christians like to put bondage back on us? You know, we kind of have this idea that, you know, okay, now that I'm free in Christ, now that I'm saved, but I got to do all these things to keep myself that way. Can I remind you of this? You have complete salvation, past, present, and future. There is nothing you can do to keep yourself saved. There's nothing you can do to keep yourself, right with God. God's taking care of all that by His grace. Now, it doesn't mean that you have the liberty to sin either. That doesn't mean that God says, because the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. In other words, the moment I trust Christ, hey, I'm going to tell you this, God has given me the power to live the Christian life. Up to that point, I didn't have it. But I have to make a choice daily. What am I going to do with this? This Christian life that I have, how am I going to handle that? What am I going to do? I just need to realize that the deliverer has delivered me from bondage. It's not me. It's what He did for me. Maybe today you're trapped in bondage. Maybe it's a something in your life that you are struggling with and you know it and God knows it. It could be a lust, it could be a depression, it could be a fear, it could be a reticence of walking with God as a Christian. It could be the fact that maybe somewhere in your life that someone has hurt you or someone has disappointed you or maybe that your upbringing was not what you wished it was and now maybe you're upset about that. It could be a whole host of other things, but I want to tell you something. The truth of the matter is God says that He can liberate you from all of that. How does that work for the Christian? It means to have a vibrant daily walk with God. For us to just kind of go to God and say, God, you know, you're everything to me. Boy, I tell you what, the Lord is so good. He's so good. I'm going to ask you this. When's the last time you dwelt a little in the Psalms? When's the last time you just kind of walked through the Psalms? And I don't mean just kind of like, you know, speed read it. You know, I'm trying to get all this done by the end of the year. But I mean, really walk through the Psalms and find verses and meditate on those verses. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time that you found in Scripture something that not just something you heard the pastor say or maybe a teacher say or maybe you might have, you know, picked it up somewhere that someone might have told you about, but where you personally had God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to your heart, showing you how real He really is? When's the last time? See, the bottom line is this, as we think of all that God has done for us, He's a wonderful Savior. As we get to know Him, we get to realize the power of who He is and what He can do in our life, how He can free us from the bondage that we have in our life. Maybe there's a person here who's never trusted Christ as Savior. You might have had religion. You may have even grown up in a church and heard all the right things, but for you, it's just been kind of like, you know, that's good for somebody else, but, you know, or maybe you just kind of adopted a little of that lifestyle, but never accepted Christ as Savior. The Bible said that this cross, or this cradle does point to the cross. You see, Jesus Christ came that He might die for us. I'm glad He died for us. I'm glad He took all of our sin on Him, and He was crucified and buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's what makes the difference. That's what frees mankind. You know, our world is so confused, they don't even know what authority to look to. But let me remind you that God is still in control. Amen? He's still in control. And God says to every one of us, hey, I can free you. I can give you that. I can give you the freedom from your sin and from your bondage. That's why my Son came. So this time of year, at Christmas, I want us to realize the freedom we have in Christ. I want us to realize the liberation that we have that's given to us through what He did for us. Your spiritual debt's been canceled. What a blessing. All of your sins been taken care of by Jesus. He takes care of you because we are given new life in Him. A life that is worth living. A life of purpose. A life of spiritual fulfillment. And the Bible said that He came that we might have the peace of God. And I trust and pray you have that today. If you're carrying this guilt of sin, of whatever it is in your life, let God take it away from you. Come to Him today. Come to this altar and let God take care of that Christian. And if you are a Christian, if you aren't a Christian, let God come and be your Savior today. He can make all the difference in the world. Heavenly Father,